listening to TY's 20 right here in WordPress Radio. How's it going, sports fans? So glad to be with you for another week. This is my third show, and the show has still not been canceled yet. So holler at your boy, as they say. I want to open the show this week with a good old-fashioned sports debate. Didn't get time in my show last week for this. So kind of had this opinion that if we start today's show with this topic, we'll definitely have time in the show. And now the debate is coming from an argument that I saw occur over Facebook, of all places, a few weeks ago. I saw some fans talking about whether or not fan attendance has much to do with how good your fan base is. I think we could all agree that it does mean something, but I got a feeling some of you believe it might mean more than others. So give me a buzz at 217-414-8313. Would love to know your thoughts and opinions on this topic. This debate also has to do with bandwagon fans and what you think about them. So the phone lines are already lighting up. We got our first caller. What's up?
Hey, this is Ezra, and I think fan attendance is huge in measuring the fan base. If the fan base is loyal and strong, there's going to be a good turnout every game. Take the Cubs, for instance. They suck, and yet they practically sell out every game.
Well, Ezra, thanks for your call. Man, it's not even 2 minutes into the show. We've already got somebody bashing the Cubs. Big surprise there. Anyway, you know, as a Cubs fan, I take pride in the fact that not only do the Cubs have a great home attendance every year, but they also have one of the best road attendances every year. You know, every stadium that the Cubs play in, there are lots and lots of Cubs fans. To me, that proves the point that it's not just about Wrigley Field as to why Cubs fans come to the park. But, you know, there are instances where I don't think fan attendance means as much. You take a look at the Los Angeles Dodgers. You know, they're always in the top five in attendance in the majors every single year. Yet, to me, they don't really have that good of a fan base. You know, they got fans that come to the games late. They leave early. They're not really into the game when it's going on. And, you know, a sporting event is just kind of the thing to do in Los Angeles, except for the Clippers, of course. Another example to share with you, Ezra, is the Boston Celtics were 10th in the NBA last year in attendance. So, you know, do you really think there's 9 fan bases better than the Celtics in the NBA? Probably not. So in those cases, I don't think fan attendance means as much. Take a look at the Cincinnati Reds, another example. Supposed to be, a baseball town. Even when they have an exciting young team like they did last year and win the division, they still only average 25,000 people per game, which was good enough for 20th in the majors. So those types of stats, to me, you can tell when a fan base is a little bit weak, in my opinion. All right, next caller.
Hey, TY, this is the owner-operator of Cinderella Story Fantasy Football Team and a Show Us Your Face Pick'em franchise top player.
All right.
I'm calling in to give my 2 cents about the attendance of games showing how good or bad a fan base might be.
Bring it on, man.
I think that attendance helps show how strong the fan base might be, but it's not the sole factor.
Okay.
You're going to have teams like the Bears, Raiders, Packers, Cowboys sell out or have high attendance records year after year because they've been the face of the NFL for years.
That's true.
And they have a fan base that reaches far outside just the immediate city limits of where that team plays. Then you get into teams that only have a high fan base when the team is doing well.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's college, but take the University of Hawaii from 2007. I would say that they had a pretty big fan base during their hot streak, but now that Colt Brennan and June Jones have both moved on, the program has suffered some. And you don't hear much about them, and not everybody and their brother is a Warriors fan. Same thing happened to Butler last year. All you heard about around Indy was the Bulldogs and how well they're doing. Now without Gordon, you don't hear much about them. They don't have the hype. Not everyone's cheering for them. So as a whole, I think it's a cyclical thing for most teams to have a big fan base when they're doing well. But when they aren't, you see those numbers drop. But you always have those diehard fans that support the team if they're winning or not. And those are the people I think that you should base a fan base off of. The ones that still support the team when the team isn't winning. kind of like what you're doing with the Pacers. Sorry, bro, but they haven't been good the last few years, but you're sticking by their side.
That's true.
So there you have it, my 2 cents for Cinderella's story, and show us your face. This has been Todd Blair. Kobe.
Well, Todd, thanks so much for your call. You definitely bring up some excellent points. I think the media definitely plays a big role in bandwagon fans, like you mentioned with Butler last year in Indianapolis. But fan attendance for teams that have struggled for years, and you mentioned the Pacers, but let me just say the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, naturally they're not going to have as many people come out to the games. They got the Steelers and the Penguins doing really well. The Pirates haven't been good for about a million years, and it's just natural that not as many people are going to come to those games. Now, I personally, I'm a diehard fan of all my teams. But I will admit, if my team is lousy, especially several years in a row, you know, tickets are pretty expensive nowadays. I'll still go to some of the games because I love to go. I'll still watch. I'll still support them. I'm still going to be just as diehard of a fan. But I'm probably not going to spend as much money on that team if they're having a lousy couple years. You know, you mentioned the Pacers. I've actually still been to quite a few Pacer games the last couple of years because I lived close. You know, of course, this year I've been in Area 55. And also, tickets have been cheaper with them not being as good. But again, if you go back to the Cubs example, in 2008, I went to about 15 games that year, even though I was 3 hours from the park, including spending almost $300 on a playoff ticket. Now, when they're lousy, again, I still support them. I still go to some of the games, but I'm not going to go to near as many games and spend all that money on a team if they're going nowhere. So that's just reality. You know, I don't think it means I'm any less of a fan because I still support them and love them. To me, that's not being a bandwagon fan in terms of attendance. So that's why my side of the argument, you know, like you, Todd, I agree that I think fan attendance matters, but it's not the only determining factor in how good your fan base is. You mentioned some teams that are naturally going to sell out no matter what, the Bears being one of them. You know, there's some Bears fans who make fun of the Colts fan base because their attendance is weaker and they don't sell out as quick. But to me, that doesn't make much sense. Now, I'm not comparing fan bases here because the Bears have a great fan base, better than the Colts fan base in my opinion. But in this case, attendance means nothing because the Bears have a huge city, a huge tradition, have been around the league a lot longer. They've got a million and one of these close suburbs of fans who travel and go to the games as well. But Todd, thanks for your call. We got time for a couple more. Next caller, what's up?
Hey, T.Y., this is Big T. Just calling and let you know what I think. You know, teams like, you know, St. Louis, even though they're always, you know, maybe the division leader and, you know, picked to go to the World Series and they have all the talent, they always seem to, you know, have that missing link or, you know, something that caused them to fall off. And but yet you always have fans there. You know, it's, you know, the games are always sold out. The same with Chicago. Chicago always has talent, but they, you know, for some reason they can't seem to put things together. But the fans are diehard. The fans are always there no matter what. You know, you'll see, you know, you'll see other teams that maybe the state, the town has something other than the baseball team, and the fans are only there if they're playing good. And or if the weather's nice, you know, you're going to have your bandwagon fans. You know, but at the same time, I think that the sport needs them because without the bandwagon
Interesting.
Fan, you know, how you can distinguish between a diehard and a bandwagon. So, anyways, that's what I think, and hope you have a good show, and thanks a lot.
Big T, thanks so much for your call. Interesting point you made there at the end about how sports need bandwagon fans. And you're right, you know, Cards and Cubs both have, you know, teams that will always pack the houses at the park no matter what. But I'm kind of up in the air over this debate on bandwagoners. The more I hear fans talk about it, when my teams are in the hunt for a championship, I don't mind bandwagoners in a sense of more people rooting for my team and for my team to get more exposure from it. When I don't like it is when fans disappear and claim they were never a fan or claim they've been fans their whole lives when it's clear they haven't. But you are correct. It shows who the true fans are when the bandwagoners come out. And if you think about it, for the sports world in general, it's all business. That, you know, they love bandwagoners in the sports world because bandwagon fans pay money as well, you know, to watch the games and to buy the shirts and so forth. All right, time for one more caller.
Hey, it's Landon. I just wanted to chime in on this fan attendance and
what's up, Landon?
Sports fans and stuff. I gotta tell you, I am 100% against bandwagon jumpers. These are the type of people that make sports teams kind of miserable to be around, because look at teams like the Yankees who buy teams that get bandwagon jumpers, and teams like the Patriots who everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. This is not good for sports. They kind of ruin the game, I think, personally. I think that a sports base with good fans, a true fan stays with their team through the good times and the bad times, and it's just like a couple years back when North Carolina only won 7 games, I was there for them, you know, and I'm a huge North Carolina fan. I couldn't take it. I could have easily jumped over to a Duke or an Illinois that year or something, but I stuck with my North Carolina. So I think that bandwagon jumpers, they kind of ruin it for a lot of other people.
Landon, thanks so much for your call. I'm sure that Dick Vitale would agree with you. And he probably thinks you're awesome, baby. Okay, I just had to do that since I said Dick Vitale. But anyway, I can relate to you about your North Carolina example. Right now, the Hoosiers are rebuilding thanks to the mess Kelvin Sampson left them. And I'm still a diehard fan. I'm still sticking with them. And last year, Indiana was still in the top 15 in attendance in the entire NCAA, you know, despite only winning 16 games in the last 2 seasons. So again, it's in those kinds of situations that I think attendance really can mean something. Still not everything, but it can mean something. But I appreciate all your phone calls. If you want to talk more about this sports debate, tweet me at sports_tys_20, or you can comment on the blog page. New website up and running at tys20.com. I'm just going to say a few more things about my sports teams in general when it comes to this debate. I've been talking about the Cubs quite a bit and just mentioned the Hoosiers there. The Indianapolis Colts, to me, have a pretty good fan base. Not the best, not the worst. I credit 2 men, Peyton Manning and Ron Artest, for turning Indianapolis into more of a football town, if you know what I mean. But Colts fans get a bad reputation from time to time because, you know, they weren't showing up to games before they started winning. But I personally feel like about 90% of fan bases are that way. You know, it's just how things are in the sports world. Now, when Peyton Manning retires, if the Colts start to struggle at that point, will the attendance suffer? That's the question. Very possible. For a diehard fan like myself, it'll be disappointing if that happens, but it won't surprise me, nor would it surprise me in most other places. Take a look at the Pacers. This one really disappoints me, you know, because Indiana is supposed to be a basketball town. It takes pride in basketball. It's, you know, apparently the basketball capital of the world, and several losing seasons in a row and several former thugs on the team. Attendance has been pretty low for the most part, and most people in Indianapolis couldn't care less about this team. Now, when they start winning again, which I feel could be coming very soon as next year, I think the fan attendance will pick back up. But, you know, it's still disappointing to a diehard fan like myself when that happens. There's still people in Indy who think the Pacers are still a bunch of thugs, even though they got rid of all those guys years ago. But winning has a lot to do with your fan base, especially in smaller markets. So once the Pacers fire Jim O'Brien and sign a power forward, I think fans will start coming back to the games. We'll see. And one final note on the Cubbies real quick, because it relates to this very well. There's a lot of Cubs fans who wish that they wouldn't sell out games, because they feel like it would send a message to the front office that we aren't okay with losing anymore. Yet, if you think about it, lower fan attendance can definitely hurt the payroll you have. And fan attendance has been always one of the main reasons that free agents want to come play for the Cubs in the first place. So overall, this is a really interesting debate. We're always going to have bandwagon fans. Attendance will probably always be greater in cities where the team is winning. But my advice here at TY's 20 is stick with your teams. It's a lot more fun that way anyway. And one day, when your team wins a championship, it's going to be a lot more amazing for you if you stuck by them through thick and thin and were always a diehard fan. All right, it's time for a 30-second commercial break. Back with more on TY's 20 right after this.
There were 3 moments in Colin Cowherd's life that created his voice. His persuasiveness developed after the famous ice cream turkey sandwich trade of 1982.
If we're talking proteins and nutrients, I'm the one losing.
His subversive rage stems from getting cut from the JV gymnastics team.
Can't believe it.
and fact-based opinions were honed in the high school debate club.
And that's why any animal you can't feed after midnight or get wet is a terrible pet.
Hear the voice of Colin Cowherd, only on ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gents. Time to bring back our NFL expert, Andrew Wakopi, to talk about the NFL playoffs once again. The conference championships this coming weekend will feature a classic all-time matchup of the Bears and Packers. And in the AFC, Golden Boy Tom Brady was one and done for the second straight year. Rex Ryan's Jets win in Foxborough, and they'll be traveling to Pittsburgh, who won a thrilling game over the rival Baltimore Ravens. Andrew, we'll start with this. Last week, you picked the Bears to win the NFC Championship. They're one win away. They beat the Seahawks fairly easily at home this past weekend. But I'm going to give you 30 seconds to tell me why you think the Bears will beat the Packers. I'm personally picking the Packers. I think they're the hottest team in football. I think they're the healthiest they've been all season. I think it could be a good game. But tell me why, in 30 seconds or less, why you think the Bears will beat the Pack on Sunday.
Well, thanks for having me back, Tyler. I'd say that in this matchup, which will be the only the second time in the history of the playoffs that the Bears and the Packers have met in the playoffs. The last time was in 7 days after Pearl Harbor in 1941. I'd say that the Bears just have a really good shot because they can contain the attack, aerial attack of the Packers. They held them to 10 points just 2 weeks ago in Week 17. They know each other really well. Lovie Smith really emphasizes being the Packers, and I just think that the whole package, the way the offense is firing for the Bears, that they're one of the few teams in the NFL that can stand up to the Packers right now.
Should be an exciting game. Now, as a Bears fan, do you want the snow? Is that what you want for this game?
Hey, I don't care what happens. It can be the Fog Bowl. I don't care, as long as they win. That's all that's important.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a great game. Over in the AFC, the Jets will probably be underdogs for the third straight game. Now, if you remember last year, Rex Ryan and company won their first two playoff games in impressive fashion, like this year, before losing the AFC title game. So do they have another upset in them? Is it even much of an upset at all if they were to win this game? Who do you got and why?
Well, the Steelers opened up as 3-point favorites for next week's game. But in kind of looking back on the season, the Jets did beat the Steelers at Pittsburgh in a game that went back and forth, never more than a 7-point difference between the scores, and the Jets pulled it out in the end. But if you look back at Pittsburgh's season, they had 12 victories this year, and out of those victories, 7 of them came against teams that are going to have top 8 picks in the draft. So they won the majority of their games against lesser quality competition. So I'm going to go ahead and pick the Jets, although I think that Steelers have plenty of playoff experience that could benefit them. I think the Jets are going to pull it out this week.
Should be another interesting matchup. All right, Andrew, we're going to play a little game of over-under. You ready for this excitement?
I am stoked.
All right, here we go. Over-under, 6 months before Tom Brady cuts his hair.
I think he will be probably shaving his head tonight in agony and pain over their loss.
All right, next question, over under. 5 times this week that we're going to hear Rex Ryan say something completely off the wall to fire his team up.
I'm going to go with the over on that. I'm going to go with Baker's dozen of 13, just because, you know, he wanted to eat everything in 12, so I think that'll transfer over to his press conference. So 12 or 13 times, definitely the over.
I'm actually going to push on this one just because I like to say the word push. But I think Rex Ryan, he's going to be in the media about 5 days this week. I'm going to say every day he's got something off the wall to say. All right, next question. 100 points combined next weekend between the two conference title games. So all 4 teams combined, will they score over or under 100 points?
I'm going to go with the under. In Vegas right now, they've got 43 points as the over-under on the Bears game and something like 35 on the Pittsburgh game. I think that sounds pretty accurate. Low scoring in Chicago, probably 20-17-ish. Same thing in Pittsburgh, although there might be a little bit more than what Vegas is expecting that one, but I would definitely say under 100 points.
I'm actually going to push on... Okay, I'm just kidding on that one. okay, last question for you. Over under 10 times that we will still hear about Brett Favre on SportsCenter this week.
I'm going to have to go with the over on that as well, because ESPN is contractually obligated to mention his name at least twice every sports center. But I am looking forward to about 15 years from now when we can hear about Aaron Rodgers finally retiring from the Vikings.
Low blow. All right.
I love that pack.
Andrew, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Look forward to talking with you again in 2 weeks as we will give the sports world a Super Bowl preview like they've never heard one before.
That's right.
All right, man. Take care.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's show of TY's 20. All my guests, I thank you so much for joining me. You will be receiving a shake weight in the mail, so you can look forward to that. Next week on the show, we're going to be talking about everything Indiana basketball, from the Hoosiers to the Pacers, and so much more. We're also going to have a countdown of the top 5 greatest sports movies of all time. So hopefully you can look forward to that. Have a great week, and as Harry Carey would always say, only the shadow knows. Take care.